Soybeans grown in Ohio have many uses. We often hear about industrial uses of soy, but many of the beans grown here in the Buckeye State are of the non-GMO food grade variety. On this Ohio Farm Bureau podcast, I visit with a farmer leader with the Ohio Soybean Council to talk about his experience planting food grade soybeans and the opportunities that exist for other farmers to do the same. We'll also talk about attractive farm nuisances and the importance for the landowner to work with a specialist who can best identify the risks and put a protection plan in place. Plus, get the details of Ohio State's new Farm Financial Management and Policy Institute. But first, as today's progressive farms and agribusinesses grow in size and sophistication, so does the demand for new ways to improve safety and enhance day-to-day operations. Telematics does both. Nationwide is partnering with leading telematics companies to provide cost-effective fleet optimization technology that make ag businesses safer and more productive. Go to Nationwide's Ag Insight Center at aginsightcenter.com to learn more, and then contact your Nationwide Farm Certified Agent to find out how to add telematics to your business. Back after this on the Ohio Farm Bureau podcast. Farm families like yours are growing their businesses to ensure their best farm futures. Farm Bureau helps your competitive advantage by advocating for members, connecting you to like-minded entrepreneurs, and providing you with insights and business solutions to grow your bottom line. Add to that healthcare benefits, financial and insurance needs, market intel, and legislative, regulatory, legal risk management tools, and it's easy to see how Farm Bureau is feeding your need for new ideas. Renew your membership or become a member today. Learn more at ohiofarmbureau.org. Welcome to the Ohio Farm Bureau podcast. I'm Ty Higgins. Last month, we talked with the Ohio Soybean Council about all the great uses for soybeans as far as industrial uses go. But there's also, of course, a huge market for non-GMO and food-grade soybeans. To talk about that is Bill Bayless with the Ohio Soybean Council. Bill, known affectionately to me as Uncle Bill for a number of different reasons. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Ty. Glad to be visiting with you this morning and bringing all the updates on soybeans here in Ohio.
Yeah, so just to clear the air, we're not actually related, but Bill and I have known each other for a long time and spent many, many hours on the road on crop tours and got to know each other on a whole different level, and appreciate your friendship, and always great to visit with you. You and I have done this several times, so this is going to be fun, and I haven't seen you in a little while, so it's good to catch up.
Yeah. Great to catch up.
You travel the world. You literally travel the world for the Ohio Soybean Council to promote the use of soybeans grown right here in the Buckeye State. When we talk about non-GMO and food grade markets, what do we mean?
Specific genetics that the world, I think, is tuned in to non-GMO nowadays. People have adverse, different opinions. Some of them, it is a great ally to grow soybeans and primarily control weeds, which is a major competition growing soybeans. However, there's other people that have a different opinion on that and thinks anything that's genetically modified doesn't sound good to them. So whether that's a fact or science proven or not, perception rules in these cases. So that can be negative, but in the range of non-GMO food grade soybeans, it can be a positive through premiums being offered.
So what opportunities exist for Ohio farmers in this non-GMO and food grade space?
Well, we're really fortunate in the fact that our climate, soil conditions, weather here in Ohio, and a couple of the other, you know, there's a state up north that we refer to. We try to take the M out of the name of it, but that state of Michigan and Indiana and Ohio are kind of like the Napa Valley of soybean growers compared to wine growers. It's where the texture and the taste of the soybean is more prominent and favored by particularly our Asian, Japanese, Korean customers. And a little side point there, us Americans, you know, we like our coffees, our Starbucks and all that. Well, they have the same perception and attitude about their soy foods. And they just love the smell of fresh soybeans or the thoughts of different varieties or of soybeans to them. And that's the best way to explain how we compare. So it's Soybeans are very important, and I could get to rambling, but I'll listen to your questions, try to keep us organized here. It's a big subject we're trying to cover.
I mentioned you travel around the world, but you work right there on the farm as well with food grade and non-GMO soybeans. Of course, they grow like a bean. They harvest like a bean, but there are some challenges and some differentiation to growing non-GMO and food grade beans. What's your experience been like there on the farm?
Well, I started in 1995. I remember that specifically. That was the year that I first rented some excess farmland from Honda Manufacturing Plant, and they were wanting to export some food grade beans over to their Japanese counterparts. So they approached me if I was interested, and seeing how I was renting their land, sure, whatever you want. And that's how we got started. But it is accept the genetic modified seed, and they have certain varieties, just like I mentioned our coffee varieties. There are certain varieties that different customers want. So I pick out which variety I think grows best in my particular farming operation, whether it's a shorter season or fuller season, or one yields better than the other one. And so I've been at it since then. So I think that's why I've got more interested, and I can really converse with my counterpart customers over there in Japan. I can remember multiple times where some of their particularly Japanese Honda employees would come over here from Japan to on a short stint there at their facility. And I find them out in our fields walking around just looking at the soybeans. It's that important to them. And another thing that caught my attention right off the bat is they're worried about if we have enough. Now, see, that's where in their country, there's so many people in so small of an area to grow, really, I think it's like 85% of their soybeans, and they use a lot of them for food grade. So it's a food product to them, and very, very important to whether we have enough or not, or they don't want to run out. That's just a different thing here in America. We've always, the land of plenty, we just don't think that way, but that's important to them.
Trade is important to us. You mentioned our partners across the world, and the reason that farmers are seeing a return on investment as far as their soybean checkoff goes is because we're finding those opportunities in other parts of the world, and you've been a major part of that with the Ohio Soybean Council. Why get involved in trade missions and travel the world and visit those customers and have them come to see our product, in person? Why is that so important?
Well, farming's our business. In our business, we need customers for our products, our soybeans, and they are our larger customers, particularly in that Asia, Japanese, Korean market, as well as China and other Asian countries. But Japan is our number one food grade customer. And so it's just like you take care of your customer. And I often explain it to my fellow farmers that's putting funds into their checkoff pot here. It's kind of like selling seed corn. Your seed corn dealer, he puts on a meeting, offers some food, gives them a good, some types of marketing or agronomy type information to draw the customers in and build a relationship. So now you know that dealer that you're talking to, in our case, the Japanese know Ohio as a producer that knows their varieties. They're familiar with us. They trust us. And so basically, we're building our market.
You've had those trade missions right there on your farm. You've had your customers from overseas come and visit you and look at what you're growing that's going to be sent their way. What are those experiences like?
Very neat. And I've had several of them from Korea and Japan, both. But when they come here, they're all anxious to look at the farm. From their perspective over there, it's different, just like our perspective of what Japan are. They get so excited in seeing the real life working of the farm. Then I think it really relates with them to when my family and my grandchildren, my Actually, you know, a little side bench there. My daughter and son-in-law are now the farmers. I'm the assistants because I'm off running around doing this trade missions and like, which I really enjoy. But still, they can see the generations coming on. So that's something I'm very proud of. And they appreciate, Asia in particular is very personable, and relationships very important to them, and looking to the next generations coming down road is very important. So that's what we're a major point is building those relationships.
And Ohio Soybean Council also involved in an event called Soy Connects. What happens there and how does that benefit Ohio farmers?
Well, that is an international worldwide event, happens every year, the third week of August, and we have soybean importers from all over the world, and I think I forget how many we had there, but it's a very large event where back to that seed corn example, we send out our invite, explain to them where we're going to hold it. Last year was in San Diego, I believe. This year it's going to be in New York, so they're anxious to come to the United States. They all, just like us, we're interested in what's the other side of the world really like. Well, they're anxious to just come over and see what United States looks like. Then we line up some of the best speakers about marketing or genetics or transportation to share with them. And of course, there's always a lot of American food for them to partake into. And it's a big trade show, really, for the world, you know, soybean buyers.
Bill, lastly, I mentioned that you travel quite a bit. Where's your next travels take you here in 2023?
I just was brought to my attention. They have a soy food bean conference in South Korea coming up the end of April. I don't have all the details just yet, but I believe we're going to take in Japanese market or in probably Tokyo is usually it in Japan, and over to Korea. Oh, I believe they said something about Thailand. It would be there because we're going to be in that general area. So when, you know, it is the other side of the world and it does take a long time to get over there. So we try to make as much benefit as we can while we're in that given area.
I wish I had your frequent flyer miles, that's for sure. You get around, and by that I mean around the world. It's great to see you there at home on the farm. Bill Bayless with the Ohio Soybean Council. Appreciate you taking time for us and appreciate all you do for the Ohio soybean farmers across the state.
Thank you, Ty. You have a good day and look forward to selling more soybeans overseas.
The Ohio Farm Bureau podcast continues next.
Find out how Nationwide Agribusiness can help you grow your business. Get to know the people with the experience and knowledge to help you. Whether you are looking to protect your farm or ranch from the ground up, or need someone who understands your changing commercial ag needs. Find out how to better manage the risks of your ag business, or how quickly you can get back to business. Learn how you can protect your next with Nationwide on your side.
Welcome back to the Ohio Farm Bureau podcast. I'm Ty Higgins. Ohio State launched the Farm Financial Management and Policy Institute late last year, and leading the charge on that front is David Marison. He joins us this week. David, how are you doing?
Good, Ty. How are you doing today?
Doing great. So what is the Farm Financial Management and Policy Institute?
Well, and that's a mouthful, right? Farm Financial Management and Policy Institute, and the acronym is FFMPI. But we figure, hey, Ohio State, we have the word "the," so we're calling it the Institute now.
Love it.
But it's the Farm Financial Management and Policy Institute. So that's the name of it. Just it's really the goal is to be a unified center for a lot of collaboration when it comes to farm management and ag policy within our college.
You mentioned the collaboration. That's with other colleges there at Ohio State, because as much as CFAES does on the ag front, there are other aspects there at Ohio State can certainly feed in some great knowledge there to help farmers be their best.
And there are a lot of linkages that could happen, what we would say at Ohio State, across the river, right? So with other colleges, with other departments, You think about the Moritz College of Law, the John Glenn College of Public Affairs, just two that come right to my mind as far as when we're talking public policy, when we're talking the legal world that we're in agriculture. Those are some partnerships that we even just had a workshop here recently using someone out of the Department of Geography when it came to H-2A workers, just from a PhD research project that was happening over there. But it's not also not limited to the Ohio State University. We're looking at maybe we can leverage partnerships with some other land-grant universities across the Midwest so that we can steal some of the best and brightest things that are happening out there and bring them here to Ohio, even without outside the confines of Ohio State.
All to help farmers against those challenges of productivity. We find those challenges becoming more and more as the months and years go on. And really, as you mentioned, a multifaceted approach to helping farmers be more productive on the farm.
Yeah, really, it's about the word resiliency, right? That helping farmers face the challenges that they have each and every day. You know, and that's our mission as the Land Grant, is to help our agriculture community. And when we look at the sphere of a farm management and ag policy, and it could be marketing, finance, it could be production and risk management, you name it, ag law, all those things, we're just here to be a catalyst, I would say a catalyst to make sure that we're meeting the needs of Ohio farmers.
And all farmers, right? I mean, there are going to be certain courses that are segmented out for different types of farmers, but you're going to cover the gamut by the time it's all said and done.
You know, you said it, Ty, there's a huge diversity in agriculture in the state, whether it's the commodities that we produce, but also within size. And there's a huge range. Actually, there's almost a bifurcation. We have a lot of large farms. We have a lot of small farms in the state of Ohio. And for farm management, we're looking at how can we help producers across the board. Doesn't matter the commodity that they raise, the size that they have, of what their production is, but meeting the individual needs of those producers. 76,000 of them too, right? So we got a lot of work to work on.
Well, and that number hopefully will grow, right? We're trying to get new and beginning farmers in, and I'm not going to give too much away because there's a course we're going to be talking about next month through the Institute, but that new and beginning farmer aspect, pretty exciting.
You know, our small farmer, beginner farmer program has been pretty robust through the years. We're just looking to enhance that, especially in the area of farm financial management. The new House Bill 95 is creating an opportunity where there'll be some incentive to pass some of that farm land, machinery, and livestock on to maybe a smaller farmer. So, yeah, we're excited about the possibilities in the small farm area for sure.
David Marison's been a part of Ohio State Extension for over two decades. What does your experience bring to the table as far as setting this institute up for the first time?
Well, I got the pleasure to step in the interim role in the institute, and that's humbling as well as it's an honor to be able to step in and work with some of the great farm management people that we already have in-house with the team that we've put together. So I'm just excited about just the fact that you said two decades, and you're so kind to say two decades instead of 25 years. But what that brings is a perspective of over the years, seeing some of the challenges. And I was a product of the 80s. So I can remember the 80s with the high interest rates as I was in high school. But also the 25 years for me, it's that sitting around a kitchen table, out visiting farmers across the state of Ohio and hearing their concerns. So for that, to put that framework around how can we help farmers, that 25 years of experience is like, there's nothing that doesn't surprise me anymore when it comes to agriculture. And hopefully that can translate into putting a vision and a mission together for this institute, you know, for the future based on what we've learned over the years. Not forgetting the past, right? You're doomed to fail if you don't remember the past.
David Marison leading the charge with Ohio State's new Farm Financial Management and Policy Institute, joining us this week on the Ohio Farm Bureau podcast. Thank you so much, David. Good to see you.
My pleasure.
We'll continue after this.
Ohio Farm Bureau has teamed up with Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Ohio to offer health insurance options typically reserved for larger employers to Ohio agribusinesses with 1 to 50 employees. The Ohio Farm Bureau Health Benefits Plan can provide you significant savings and quality health insurance benefits for your employees. For more information, eligibility, and competitive rates, visit ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org or call 800-937-4567.
Welcome back to the Ohio Farm Bureau Podcast. I'm Ty Higgins. Some farmland is more than just working land. Natural features like ponds may detract from the overall crop potential of a piece of farmland. Moreover, these attractive farm nuisances can also add to the farmland owner's liability. Joining us to talk more about that from Nationwide is Matt Ludwig. He is Senior Risk Management Consultant with Nationwide. Really appreciate you taking time for us today. Something that we probably don't talk about enough is attractive farm nuisance. So how would you characterize that?
Yeah, an attractive farm nuisance, or really any attractive nuisance, is any structure, piece of equipment, natural land phenomenon that could draw attention to people, especially children. It looks fun to maybe explore, play on, play in, look at a little more closely. And we see, you know, we see issues with injuries from time to time with people getting too close to areas that we really want to protect.
Gosh, when I just mentioned the ponds and the pieces of equipment, you start to realize in your head how many of those nuisances can be around that you don't even think about until maybe it's too late.
Yeah, the recognition of it is really important, and having some eyes, you know, on site and on the property to kind of look at that with, I call them virtual safety goggles. We get so used to the background that we work in every day that maybe we miss some of those hazards that are right in front of our face. And just something as simple as a stream or a pond or a piece of equipment, you know, if we don't see that as a possible hazard, then we will miss it.
So you specialize in risk management. What can somebody do to protect themselves from these nuisances?
You know, obviously the best possible solution is to remove them altogether. But I also know that that is not realistic, especially when you're talking about natural features like ponds and streams. And, you know, we always have equipment in and around the farm. The next best solution would be protect the public and protect yourself from them by barricading them. If you can take a barricade and eliminate somebody even getting close to it, would be kind of the next best. And then there are those administrative controls that we talk about in the safety and risk management world, which would be signage, you know, making sure that we ensure that people go and not go where we don't want them to go on our farms. And that's usually near some of these attractive nuisances.
Sometimes that takes another set of eyes as well. How can a specialized Nationwide personnel be a part of the process?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we always encourage farmers to have their agents come out at least on an annual basis to look at their property, look at their operation, to make sure that they are covered appropriately for the risks that they have on their farm. But we do have loss control representatives and risk management consultants that specialize in this. And that's what we do. We go on site, we walk the property, and we always wear our virtual safety goggles. We're safety people, right? So this is what we're trained to do. And we can point out some of those things that may be overlooked on the farm that just become part of the backdrop during everyday work. And we can help them with that, as well as your on-site team, training people to recognize hazards and to look for those kind of hazards as they're going about their daily jobs.
Yeah, it's important too, because you mentioned how things are always around us, but if we do something every day, it becomes habitual. It's still dangerous, and we have to have some of those safety things in the back of our minds at all times as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We see it a lot in all industries. It's just, you know, we're busy on focused on doing our jobs. We're going from point A to point B, when if we really put those virtual safety goggles on and made it a point to look for those hazards that could injure somebody or be a potential loss, then we can catch them before they become a loss.
Nationwide has a full article on this very topic in your latest Our Ohio magazine and mailboxes. Make sure and read up. And if you have any other questions, of course, you can log on to nationwide.com. Matt Ludwig is Senior Risk Management Consultant with Nationwide. Thank you so much for the information. Good to see you.
Absolutely, Ty. Thanks for the opportunity.
That'll do it for this Ohio Farm Bureau podcast. Wherever you listen to podcasts, make sure and like, subscribe, or follow us. And you can listen to previous podcasts online now at ohiofarmbureau.org. I'm Ty Higgins. We'll see you down the road.